You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us an Indian first then?
Hello, hello. You're listening to Rose City Native Radio. It's a wonderful Thursday evening, and we've got so much for you. Music, poetry, and more. DJ Yellow Horse is in the house. We'll be chatting soon. Actually, Nick, what do you have in store for us today?
This is a new track from Tomahawk Bang. It's called Water Moccasin. I don't even think you've heard it yet.
I don't believe I have. I already love the name.
Super high. I have been running to it almost every single day today.
Oh.
It is really, this entire album, Indigitech, really slaps.
You heard it here first, folks. And this is a new release, you said?
Yeah, it just came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, without further ado,
Water Moccasin by Tomahawk Bang.
We'll be right back.
And that was I Wanna Go Bang, also by Tomahawk Bang. Before that, we're listening to Water Moccasin by Tomahawk Bang from his new album, Indigitech, which I believe came out about 2 weeks ago. This is a new track as well. It's off of the album Reflect by Neon Natives. It's called There Was a Time for Me. You are listening to Rose City Native Radio.
Thank you.
And that was There Was a Time for Me by Neon Natives off of their new album, Wrecked. Sorry, Reflect. There's a K in there. It's been a long day. All right.
Wrecked and then you reflect. Yes. Hello. Hi. How are you doing? Good. Good. We have some tickets to give away here on the show. So we have tickets to Tommy Graven and Jan Michael Looking Wolf featuring Robin Gentlewolf for tomorrow, January 10th at 8 p.m. at the Old Church. We have two pairs of tickets to give away. So your name will be put on the guest list. We're going to play a track from Jan Michael Looking Wolf now called Standing Elk. And if you're interested, give us a call, 503-231-8187. First come, first serve. Without further ado, this is Standing Elk by Jan Michael Looking Wolf here on Rose City Native Radio.
Thank you.
And that was Standing Elk by Jan Michael Looking Wolf. For those two tickets, those two pairs of tickets have been claimed. Again, that was for an event tomorrow at the Old Church at 8 p.m. There are still tickets if you want to go. It's going to be Jan Michael Looking Wolf and Tommy Graven with special guest Robin Gentle Wolf performing, a part of the Old Church's Moon series. Congratulations to those who did call and got your tickets, and have fun.
Yes. Yeah. So the two tickets that we are giving away, or two pairs, they are claimed. You can find the event online if you're interested in attending. What do we got next?
This is Out of the Gate by JB the First Lady.
I'm feeling it out. I'm out of the gate and I'm feeling the sound. I'm out of the gate and I know what's about. I'm out of the gate and I'm doing it loud. I'ma write and write. No one can take my life. I'ma fight and fight. No one can take my light. I'm ready to take flight. That was in the plan. Them was them. My words catch fire and my connect wires. It requires to inspire to the smallest, to the oldest, who mold us, ancestors, prayers upstairs that we heal and repair. No one can compare. They stare and they stare. I'm aware, head up, no glare. I'm in the light. I'm in the fight. I'm in the sight. I'm out of the gate and I'm feeling it out. I'm out of the gate and I'm making the sound. I'm out of the gate and I know what's about. I'm out of the gate. And I'm doing it loud. I'm out of the gate and I'm feeling it out. I'm out of the gate and I'm making a sound. I'm out of the gate and I know what it's about. I'm out of the gate and I'm doing it loud. I'ma speak and speak to my highest peak. I'ma seek and seek till it becomes a technique. Failure of police, how they treat my niece. No one day you'll be a period piece. How they treat our deceased. No such thing as justice of the peace. Canada lies and lies as canoes. There is no excuse for hate and abuse. I know it's tough. I know it's rough. We are still here. She is still here. He is still here. This is our time to rise. Time to rise. Time to rise. I'm out of the gate and I'm feeling it out. I'm out of the gate and I'm making a sound. I'm out of the gate and I know what's about. I'm out of the gate and I'm doing it loud. I'm out of the gate and I'm feeling it out. I'm out of the gate and I'm making a sound. I'm out of the gate and I know what it's about. I'm out of the gate and I'm doing it loud.
My wifey be the wolf and I'm the wolf that's from the sea. And she no Pocahontas, more like Buffy, Saint Marie. Come do your dance with me. I
I dip, you dip, we dip. No, it ain't blasphemy. I sip, you sip, we sip with Nisi Cup. I stand and rock with all my suit without the boosters. Me and bro came out the womb. Nietzsche 1 and Nietzsche 2. We very indigenous people. We some VIPs. I'm a blood thicker than Ulrike Grease. Nietzsche, please sing your song. This my jam. Got my fam all going ham for the land, not the gram. Stay Vinay, it's who I am. We choose copper over gold. Praise the elders. I remember what I'm told. Never turn your back on home. We them bougie natives.
I got turquoise on my red.
We them bougie natives.
Five rings up on my fist.
We them bougie natives.
Big hat with the brand.
We them bougie natives.
Got that custom made blend.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
Pour my knowledge in my brain.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
You can holler at my name.
Hey, a ho.
Hey, a ho.
Can't you tell them woke? The smoke shop is closed. Can you tell your boys dope? Man, I'm spinning like I made it, and I'm smudging cause I'm broke again. Always running late, I hope the liquor store is open.
I got carvers, weavers, beaters, and designers on my team. I got braiders, hella famous, that I'm signing to my team. In my limousine, gonna look steezy, next to my DigiQueen.
Yeah, that's my Moose McGee.
I know ballers, I know chiefs, I know riders from the east. I know educated natives down to picket in the streets. Middle fingers to police, but we come in peace. I know red skin hippies that be giving me the creeps. I know beauty, I know beast, I know savages and freaks. And I know a couple cousins even bougier than me. No, ain't elite, bougie native, yes indeed. Art exhibit to the club, and we roll it 20D. Copper on my neck, gold on my ring. Feather on my hat, skin stitch chin. 100 warriors on my back, daily drumming when I sing. Man, there ain't no way around it. I'm a
bougie native.
I got turquoise on my red.
We them bougie natives.
Five rings up on my fist.
We them bougie natives.
Big hat with the brand.
We them bougie natives.
Got that custom made blend.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
Pour my knowledge in my brain.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
You can holler at my name.
Oh, hi. Oh, hello. That was Snotty Nose Reds with Bougie Natives. And Nick, what do we have before that?
That was Out of the Gate by JB, the First Lady.
Hey, all right. Well, it's now time for two Indians talking, which is what's going to happen now. Two natives talking. Hey, Hoka. Hey, that's going to be the new segment name until we figure something out. let us know if you have any name ideas. Facebook.com/RoseCityNativeRadio. Nick, we have some things.
We have some racial profiling things.
Yeah, up in Canada, the great white north.
I believe it happened in Vancouver.
Yes, it did.
So this happened relatively recently. This article came out today. It's the headline is Indigenous Grandfather and 12-year-old handcuffed in front of a Vancouver bank after trying to open an account. So the grandfather took his granddaughter to the bank that he has been with since 2014, which, you know, sounds like a long time. He wanted to open an account for his 12-year-old daughter so that he can deposit money into her account whenever the granddaughter had a school function or just wanted some money for some food or something. You know, normal things. And so the grandfather had gone into the bank, given his tribal ID, and I believe it's the government-issued Indian status cards, his birth certificate, and her medical card for the granddaughter. Gave it to the employee, wherein the employee became suspicious and went upstairs with the identification. He said that he believes the employee might have been suspicious because he had $30,000 deposited into his account an amount he and every other member of the, I'm going to butcher this, Heliitsuk Nation received in December from the federal government as part of an Aboriginal rights settlement package. He says the employee then told them to come upstairs to retrieve their identification not long after they saw the police walking towards him. And I quote, Mr. Johnson, the grandfather, "They came over and grabbed me and my granddaughter, took us to a police vehicle and handcuffed both of us, told us we were being detained and read our rights." Johnson says when he saw his granddaughter in handcuffs crying, he was heartbroken. "You could see how scared she was. It was really hard to see that," he said. And Mr. Johnson believes that he was racially profiled. Apparently, the interaction didn't last very long time-wise. The police were able to understand the situation and what was going on and unhandcuffed him later on, but Mr. Johnson, of course, did not feel that was right in any way, shape, or form, nor do I feel that's right. And the bank in question, which is the bank, what's the name? Their acronym is BMO, Bank of Montreal. That's what it is. Which isn't a federally owned bank. Want to point that out. It is a private bank within within Canada. And they issued a statement saying that they are going to train the employees better that were involved in this altercation and that they're so sorry that it happened to their customers and that they strive to be better, la-di-da, this and that. You've heard it before. Mr. Johnson is going to be pursuing action against them, according to this article, saying that he has been racially profiled and that he's fighting not only for his right, but for every First Nations person that's been discriminated against a bank or a big store, something of the sort, he says. And if you're not white, you have probably been racially profiled at some point in your life. And it's terrible that it happens to a grandfather and a granddaughter just trying to open a bank account.
And this thing isn't, I really want to emphasize here, because here in the lower 48, Canada seems to keep having this reputation as like being, you know, super friendly and then like everyone's really progressive and, you know, things are getting so bad here, I'm moving to Canada, it's all great and happy there, all sunshine and rainbows. It is not sunshine and rainbows, especially if you're brown, especially if you're native. And a lot of stories we've covered have been from Canada in the past as well. Colton Bougie and multiple murders of native folks. And it's common to be followed in grocery stores there. Racial profiling is extremely high up in Canada. And this is something that natives there are very familiar with. So I'm really glad that he is pursuing legal action for this. I think it's absolutely outrageous to put a 12-year-old in handcuffs. And for them to be like, this dude has too much money in his bank account, let's call the police.
The bank employee said it could have been possible fraud happening.
Yeah. Now, do we expect every bank employee to know the various Aboriginal laws that are in Canada? No. However, with this particular case, if they're presenting tribal ID, ideally they would have a rough understanding, I would think. I don't want to necessarily excuse the bank teller completely, because I definitely think that their reaction was an overreaction. I think the bank's reaction was ridiculous. And if this is like a common settlement, if all of the members of this tribe end up having this exact amount in their account, if he has been, because it said in the article he's been with them for like 14 years or something like that.
No, he's been with them since 2014.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
And I mean, like, okay, so I have worked in a bank when I was in college, mm-hmm. and a credit union. And these are things you can look up. You can look up a person's account and see if this is something that Mr. Johnson receives on an annual basis around the same time in around the same amount, mm-hmm. a large deposit. I mean, you would think the manager and or that employee would go in, look at those statements, because of course the banks will have it for at least 3 years. Yeah. They can look back into your account. Usually, I know that's the case for United States. I'm pretty sure the banks up in Canada will have those type of history of at least a year to see the exact same amount coming from that same merchant.
That's the thing too, of where the money is coming from. Ideally, if that shows up, it would say the Canadian government, I would assume, or some sort of like official something or other. It's not just, you know, all in cash or you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there isn't
or if it was a check from them, they
yeah,
would have
like they would have the check.
They would have the visible image, yes. of the check, and it would say, who is it from?
That all of this being said is there should be more than enough evidence easily accessible to the bank itself to like for them to do this. And then you would assume that there would be procedures that check these various things that they have access to before calling the cops on an old dude and his granddaughter.
Yeah, like, why is that your first thing to do is jump to a conclusion? This is fraud, therefore we need to call the cops. Like, that there's such a disconnect, and that procedurally there should have been a lot more. And in Vancouver, in a metropolitan setting where probably a lot of people have a lot of money there that do a lot of large transactions with this bank frequently at this downtown location that they have visited. And for this employee and probably the manager of the bank were like, no, these people need to be in handcuffs. Like, what type of logic is that? That's,
yeah.
I mean, the only type of logic that I could think is racial profiling,
basically. And it's interesting. I mean, I don't know what the population of this nation is. I don't know a lot. However, what I do know is that I'm sure Vancouver has a pretty decent sized Native population, and this should be something that, I mean, depending, unless it's a brand spanking new bank, which it is not, they should have some familiarity working with tribal folks and tribal IDs and identification and however those various payouts occur. This shouldn't be their first Indian rodeo, so to speak. And I think this is disgusting. And again, I'm very glad that he is pursuing legal action for this. And I'm just so, so sad that him and his 12-year-old granddaughter had to go through this. And like, that's one of her first experiences, like getting a bank account is, oh, you got to be careful even when you provide them your birth certificate and your tribal ID, and they hold that and say, you need to go to a second location if you want these back. How scary is that? You giving them these very valuable papers and things that you need to survive in this colonial world, and having somebody hold that and be like, oh, if you want these back, you need to go to a second location with me. Like, that's not okay. And then even after providing all of that to prove who you are, you still have the cops called on you, and you're handcuffed and accused of fraud. And now, granted, like, they're saying, you know, in the article it says, like, the whole ordeal was over, like, within an hour. It was really quick. But even then, like, it doesn't matter how quickly they resolve this. That's what's even more infuriating, is it's a waste of everybody's time. Everybody's time. Not that I necessarily care about the police's time or the bank's time. I mostly care about these two people that were racially profiled's time. But it's a waste of everyone's time and resources to do this. When if it took that long for the cops to be like, oh, no, there's no crime here, everything's fine, then the bank could have done the same, like, very easily. So it's frustrating, it's irritating, it's wrong on so many levels, and I hope him and his granddaughter are able to get justice. If there are any updates on this, we'll definitely be able to report on them. But yeah, Canada, man, it is not the land of sunshine and rainbows.
I think you, I mean, yeah, because I mean, like, you make a great point. If the police were able to rectify the situation so quickly, why can't the banks?
The bank had full ability to do
that.
They have
all the information.
Yeah.
On who this person is saying who they are, and you're just like, nope, cops, come in here. This man, I don't know about him.
And I'm also curious, like, I kind of wish I knew how the police were able to establish this, because my guess would be, right, is the cops show up and then grandpa has to explain this entire thing. And then what the police, it's not like the police have access to this information, right? So then what I would assume is the police turn the bank and be like, can you pull up X, Y, and Z? Bank pulls up X, Y, and Z that they've had access to the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And cops determine from that information that, again, the bank had access to the entire time. Then the cops are like, oh, well, then there's no crime here. Like, how else would they be? I mean, I don't know. This is just speculation. But I'm just curious, how else would they be able to determine that there was no crime here if they didn't use the information the bank, again, already had access to. So, you know. Whatever.
That really wrestled my jimmies.
Are you ready to get even more angry?
Always.
Okay. So let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to America. And so in the city of Killingly, excuse me, Connecticut, there's a high school that is now reverting back to its old controversial mascot. A Board of Education meeting that happened last night on Wednesday. A large amount of people were speaking out against it. And apparently there was nobody in the crowd supporting this at all. But in the end, the Board of Education decided to bring back this mascot. What is this mascot, you may say? Well, they are now known as the Redmen, R-E-D-M-E-N, and it is a Native American themed mascot. The people speaking out against the mascot included teachers, students, and people from the Native community there. And of course, as usual, while there were no supporters in the meeting, various supposed supporters of the name again use the tired old trope of honoring history, but again they're embracing a term that is out of date and racist. So if you want to honor history, you are honoring history of genocide. So if that gives you the warm and fuzzies, I don't know what to tell you. So this is the first time in history any school in the United States has gone back to a Native mascot after initially deciding to remove it. And so they've had the Redmen team name with the Native American logo roughly from like 1939 to last year, 2019. They removed it and then decided to bring it back. And So they removed it after students, faculty members, representatives from multiple Native tribes in the area convinced the board the term Redmen is offensive. In November, a lot of Republicans who had campaigned on a promise to change the name back to Redmen took control of the board and voted to get rid of the Red Hawks mascot. Red Hawks is a cool name. Anyways. So they brought up the issue again and voted 5-4 to bring back the name. They will use a different logo, but they will still use the name Redmen. And again, board members argue the same old tired stuff of Redmen is meant to honor Native Americans, so it should not be construed as racist or a derogatory term. So in a quote here from Hoween Flexer, Killingly Board of Education, they say, quote, "We stopped letting it be about the students and doing what's right. And people can be mad about the process, and people can be mad about whatever it is that they think they are losing, but the people who are directly impacted have spoken, and we chose not to listen to them." Which is absolutely true. Good Lord. So apparently during the meeting, Board Chairman Craig Hanford called the town's attorney because he said he felt uncomfortable when Channel 3 placed a microphone at the table he was sitting at. Goodness me. So, first time in history, a school has reverted back to its racist native mascot, the Redmen. Now, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with why terms like redskin, redmen, and referring to any native person as red is extremely racist and not honoring history, well, it's honoring a history of murder and genocide. So, for those who are unfamiliar with the term, basically, way back in the when, long, long ago, people used to get paid by the U.S. government to murder Native Americans. This happened a lot in California and other states as well. And scalping was a big thing. So another fun tidbit for those of you who do not know, scalping actually came from the Europeans. So scalping was brought over. It was not a Native thing initially. And then Natives started doing it since it was being done to them. So there were bounties put out on Native folks. And the term comes from an article. So you would get a certain amount of money for children, women, higher money for men of a certain age. And so you would get these little tokens from the government and you would, turn that in. And so oftentimes Native Americans were skinned, and I'm talking like an animal, skinned or scalped. And the term red skin comes from that, on top of the weird, I don't know what the term is. The weird assumption or visual, I don't know. White people thinking that our skin has a red tint, which it doesn't, but, you know, they also think Asians look yellow. It makes no sense. So, so it comes from a history, of murdering Native Americans and clearing them out and selling their skins to the government to prove that they have been eradicated. So and they were sold like cash. So this is we're gonna read a real quick excerpt here. So this is from a document from 1863, and says here, the state reward for dead Indians has been increased to $200 for every redskin sent to purgatory. This sum is more than the dead bodies of all the Indians in the Red River are worth. So that's from the Daily Republican newspaper in, Winona, Minnesota, from September 24th in 1863. So again, the state reward in Minnesota at the time in 1863 has been increased to $200 for every redskin sent to purgatory. That is a direct quote from this. The sum is more than the dead bodies of all the Indians east of the Red River are worth. This has been a thing. People are saying it's meant to honor them and blah, 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 blah. This is not honor. This is not a name we bestowed upon ourselves. Anybody who may have referred to it in the past is, again, we're trying to use other lingo that the invaders understood. We've talked about this before, where a lot of our English tribal names, mine included, translate basically or come from, its origins come from the terms what and I don't understand what you're saying. There are multiple tribes that their English word for their tribe comes from some version. So in Pima, Pima comes from a sentence that I can't remember off the top of my head, but basically it means I don't understand what you're saying. And because that was repeated multiple times during the encounters with the Spanish and with the English, they're like, oh, that must be their name. And many, many different tribes have that. There's a lot of tribes called what. Maybe that's going to be my new band name, A Tribe Called What. But, you know, any, a lot of people try to bring up like, you know, oh, so-and-so referred to them as redskin, blah, 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 blah. In reality, it's us trying to use the colonizers' lingo for them to even remotely pretend to understand us. Sometimes you have to use that language. Same with Indian, right? We have to use that language a lot of the time, even though it's a term we would really wish would go away, because it's in all of these things because it's in all of these federal things, we have to continue to use the term and stuff like that. So again, this is always, redskin is always meant scalps. Redskin is always meant literally skinning people. And referring to us as red is racist. And if you say it heritage, not hate, the heritage is hate. Period. There is no separating this. The heritage is hate. And if you want to honor that heritage, we have a problem. Nick, any thoughts?
I want to just emphasize that if you're trying to claim that you're just trying to honor heritage, again, it is hate because it's a view of how an old system viewed us, and that system wanted to eradicate every single one of us. And by trying to say you honor us, you want to see us in a light where we want to be eradicated to the point where we as Native folk get the phrase go back to your own country, which is a not uncommon to hear.
Yep.
And I promise you that this has happened, where people will tell me or people I know who are Native as well to go back to our own country and say it in passing, say it whenever, and you just have this dumbfounded look of like, I don't think you know who I am. Obviously you don't, because I was here first and you are the one that should be not here. And so many times have I been grouped in with other ethnic groups that aren't myself, because the population at whole believes I should look a certain way when I don't look the way that they want me to look. And it's just this cyclical ideal of how I should be and how we should be and how we should act and how, especially how we should look. And by continuing this mascot, you're just continuing that cycle of
false narrative
and erasure. And it's upsetting. It rustles my jimmies.
It's very, very frustrating. And again, we need to, you know, keep in mind of whose lens is this really? This is a group of non-natives ignoring Native Americans saying, please don't. And they're like, you're redmen. No, that's not what we are.
See, another thing was like, this was when you were gone 1 week. I talked about that whole CP Gray YouTube video about how he he spoke with a bunch of natives and how they wanted to be referred to as Indians, or how Native American is just too overarching and blah, 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 this and that. And that's just another thing, because it's a view of us.
No,
and
it's this argument through the lens of a white man.
And it's continual. This is happening so many times. There's so many instances where we just continue this conversation and either of us is like, oh yeah, you know, this one point. Yeah, there's these other points that have happened exactly the same exact way.
And that's the thing too, is the frustrating part of this is we keep repeating ourselves over and over and over again. And if it seems like that's what's happening, because that's what's happening, is that because nobody seems to be really listening, we have to keep repeating ourselves. And then people are like, well, why do you keep talking about the same thing over and over again? Well, I wouldn't have to talk about it over and over again if you had heard me the first time and actually acknowledged it and done something. So there's a quote here from Little Native Boy. If you don't follow them on Twitter, definitely recommend that account. And they retweeted somebody, and the quote is, people often say, stop being angry and educate us, not understanding that the anger is part of the education, which is so true. The frustration of having to consistently and constantly repeat ourselves over and over and over again for over 200 years. And still nobody seems to get that you can't call us red. Don't call me red. Don't call me red. So I feel bad for that high school. I hope that the community is able to overthrow the school board because Woo Doggy is their time for revolution. It is now. Nick, any final thoughts?
We've been citizens for less than 100 years, and we've been yelling about the same thing for over longer.
Yeah, and we didn't even want to be citizens.
Yeah.
Didn't even want to be citizens.
1924, that's when we became citizens.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Ugh, like a blanket of smallpox. Good Lord. Anyways.
All right. This is The Radical by Natani Means. To close out the show, you've been listening to Rose City Native Radio. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, real quick, you can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. If you have music, events, and more, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, we will see you next week, Indian Country.
Yeah. Melodic, what up? Check it. Yo. Step inside the militant minded. Confined him inside a signed confinement. Picture the best Pac and Nas combined with Russell and Dennis at an AIM protest. Check it. I grew up tough. Underneath barbed wire cuts, and my scars ain't enough to tell my story. All these other rappers are mediocre, starting to bore me. Melodic said, untie your brain to fully feel freedom. My grandma named me Natani Nez for a reason, so I could lead them, free your minds from extinction, and believe in freedom. Throw that government money back, cause we don't need them. Sovereignty's a myth in a nation full of ignorance. I've seen checks get spent on casino chips, and I wear my hair proud. This is true pride music, war hooping loud, equivalent to the American Indian movement. Yeah, yeah, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah, can you hear me now? Right. I'm not a rapper, I'm an activist who rhymes. This is how you're learning, you better read between the lines. Kill the Indian, save the man. Yes, all my friends descended from dead men who defended them. I got two braids and a beaded necklace. Living young and living reckless. Got a bullet for the next hipster in a headdress. Step aside, I got that C4 flow, I'm ready to blow it.